Thanks so much for joining us. It is 9:09 on a lovely Saturday morning. Andy Lindis is on board here on the Home Improvement Show. And Andy, what a day. Hope you had a good week.
I had a fantastic week, and I'm looking forward to a little yard work today in this beautiful weather.
Yeah, me too. I got a long list of things to get done outside. You know, Andy, at the beginning of the show, I wanted to talk about LP Smart Side. It's one of the great products that your crews install all the time. Tell us about LP Smart Side and what makes it a superior product.
You know, we look for better products all the time, and for years our seamless steel was the best siding we could offer. And about 10 years ago we were introduced to the LP Smart Side, and at that time a lot of the cement board was really what people were looking for, but I always shied away from that because of the installation instructions and some of the things that I saw with water management and cement board and how that reacted to it. I just didn't think it was a good product for the exterior of the home. And then so we started to talk to the LP folks, and then you find out it's made in Two Harbors, Minnesota, so it's made locally. And then I did some water testing on it, and before we even used it, I kept it in a bucket for a month. And over a month of completely submerged in water, it grew a little bit, but as I took it out of the water, it almost went back down to its original size. So even if it's not installed properly, it has a good chance of being able to hold up with the water. It's just a very durable product. Now, couple that with my installer guys, and I'm telling you, it's not only one of the most durable products you can put on your home, but it's also the most aesthetically pleasing siding material that we have. Couple that with how we do some of the underlayment stuff, it's just it's a really good product. Now, there's a lot of different finishings that you can get. We choose the diamond coat finishing because I just think it scratches the way that finish is made. It's just as, again, durability is the number one thing why I chose that product, Steve.
Yeah, and in the finishing touches, it's one thing to put the siding up, but to get it just right, the fit and finish, if you will, is something that, you know, your crews and your Facebook site, there's photos of a lot of your work and a lot of your projects, and that's really the key to make it look right and make it last.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when we get out to people's houses, aesthetics is the number one thing that they want to talk about. But for me, when you got to think where we live, you know, we're in the land of, you know, polar vortexes, and then it could get to 105 degrees with almost that same amount of humidity. And so that's a big range in temperatures. That's why we chose a product like LP. It's just a really stable product, and it's made in Minnesota for Minnesota folks.
And one thing people will learn when they take a look at a product like this, when your crews come out, they're adding our value to the house. Tell us about that process. What goes into installing new siding in a product like LP Smart Side? Because it really does add insulation value to the home the way your guys go about it.
Yeah, and I see in our tech screen somebody is asking about the Insultex R6, and that's what we use. And you know, there was some slowdown in manufacturing of that product, but we recently we have another semi load of that R6 that's going to show up, I believe, next week. So we never ran out of it. I know a lot of the country did, but we have some exclusivities with them, so we still have the Insultex R6. Let me tell you about this product, Steve. Normal R6, you're going to have to go about an inch and a half of ordinary foam in order to achieve that R value. Our house wrap has an R6, and it's 5 millimeters thick. So it's an R6 at 5 millimeters versus an inch and a half. Now, why that's important is if you try to do that with foam around the exterior of your home, you're going to have to build your windows out to match. And a lot of times that's not the best way to do it. It's hard to really manage air and water infiltration when you have to do it that way. And this is just it goes on like a normal house wrap. So Tyvek is the one that most people know. So just like a normal Tyvek with the taping of the seams and the cap nailing, but it's an R6. So we've been using it on almost every siding job for 4 years now. And the amount of people that tell me how much more comfortable we've made their house with this product is astounding. It really is. Out of all the things I've seen come down the pike in the last 15 years, that Insulatex product with the R6 is the most innovative insulation I've seen in my life in the home improvement industry.
And Andy, you alluded to the aesthetics, that there are a number of different looks with LP SmartSide. You're not just locked into one look with this product, are you?
No, I had the opportunity this week. I was able to talk to an old teacher of mine. She's, you know, everybody has that one teacher that made a difference in their life. Mrs. Joaquin was that teacher for me. Speech class, drama class. Believe it or not, I was an all-school play nerd, and I loved every minute of it. But she hired me to remodel her. She's fourth generation in this old farmhouse, fold four square. And we actually took LP SmartSide. You ever seen like those old farmhouses that have like the 3-inch reveal siding? We remodeled her entire house so it has like a 3-inch reveal. And just to, she wanted to make it look as close to her old house. And the reason I talked to her is because I have another one of those projects coming up. One of my estimators was talking to me about this project that he's looking at out in the country, an old four-square farmhouse, complete remodel, needs a lot of work. And, of course, so I call up my teacher and say, would you mind if we sent a customer your way to take a look at your house and maybe talk to you? And she was all for it. But those, like, When you really start to go through the design process, there's a lot of time, Steve. We're going to have four or five different profiles of siding on somebody's house, or maybe a couple of different materials. We might be using some stone or some shakes in one area. And there's a lot of different things that we can do with trim to really make your house pop and be the envy of the neighborhood.
Outstanding. Andy Lindis, the Home Improvement Show underway. And by the way, we want to visit with you on the show. If you have a question, feel free to call or text 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. We're going to be going to the phone line shortly. Joe in St. Paul's waiting. Nancy in Roseville. And we've already got some texts rolling in. We'll get to those as well here on the Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Lindis Construction here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is 9:20 here on a Saturday morning. The Home Improvement Show brought to you by Lindus Construction. That's L-I-N-D-U-S Construction.com or at 1-800-LEAVE-CARD. We're joined by Andy Lindis, and we heard a promo a moment ago for Corey Heppala. And Andy, you and Corey have teamed up on a great new podcast. Hey, let's build it. Pretty good stuff and a lot of fun. It's available at radio.com or at the WCCO.com website. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Corey, of course, is super easy to work with, but we're trying to be as informative as we can, have a lot of fun with it. And we just recorded two new episodes this week. I believe the next one is going to drop May 7th. There's three episodes available now. And you can find it, yeah, radio.com or iTunes. It's been a lot of fun and interesting. Gets my wheels turning for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Radio.com, the place to find it, or at our website, WCCORadio.com, or wherever you get podcasts. Just type in, hey, let's build it. That's Corey Heppala and Andy Lindis. And speaking of siding, we've got Nancy in Roseville. We talked about LP Smart Side to start the program today. Nancy Roseville, you're on the air with Andy Lindis. Hello.
Good morning. about 15 years ago, we had our house sided with Hardy siding. We love it.
Good.
But this year, I noticed as I was walking around the house that some of the seams are separating. Actually, a lot of the seams are separating. Is that something I need to have fixed? Is
yes.
that something that you do? What
no.
or what do I do about it?
Yeah, I would. I would reach out to, if you could, still find the person that originally installed it. But that's one of the, this is definitely something that you want to address. If water is getting in behind that type of siding or getting to any unpainted surface, you can really lead to some delamination. And it starts little, but once it starts to go, I mean, it could, you know, be hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars worth of damage created. So that's one of the things with water management and installation techniques. When it comes to cement board, you really have to pay attention to it and maintain it. Just like any type of siding, when water can get to it, bad things can happen. That's why we really leaned in on LP, because even if there is a failure, I really do think that it's going to have the best luck of holding up over time. But yeah, no, that's something that you are going to want to address. Now, like, I wonder, I'd really like to see a picture of it, because seam separating, it's typically, one of the nice parts about cement board is not a lot of expansion and contraction, so I doubt it's that. I wonder if it already is starting some water damage in there. But I'd have to take a look at it without seeing it. It's hard to really diagnose exactly what's happening. But if it's something that is different on your siding, especially with cement board that you haven't noticed before, you're going to want to address it right away.
It is a home improvement show with Andy Lindis each and every Saturday morning between 9 and 10 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. To the phone lines again, we go to Joe in St. Paul. Joe, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Hey, Andy. You do a great show every week. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I got a question. I've got a 1950s house, cinder block wall foundation. Had some gutter issues, and so I got some freezing and thawing, and so they dug down five courses, and I've got about 12 vertical joints that are broken. They need to come out and fix. Some are about an inch and a half in width, and I want to tar it and then do a rubber membrane over the top of it. But my question is, I'm not sure the difference between like using hydraulic cement or else a concrete repair mortar to patch, I guess, the joints first and then maybe parge over later. But so I guess what's your recommendation, hydraulic cement or concrete repair mortar to fix those mortar joints? Because there's no backing really behind the joint.
You know, I'm going to be 100% honest with you here. I'm not 100% sure on my answer there, so I don't want to give you bad advice. But
yeah,
I do know somebody I can maybe reach out to here. I don't know if I'll have the exact answer, but if you want to send me an email, andy@lindisco.com. I don't know if I'll be able to get the answer by the end of the show, but if you send me an email, I'll find out the answer for you, and I'll just reply to you. And if it's by the end of the show, I'll let everyone know. But if not, I'll let everyone know next week.
Perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the show.
No problem.
All right, very good, Joe, and have a good day. Let's continue on the phone lines. Let's go to Joanne in Apple Valley. You're on with Andy Lindis. Hello.
Hi. I know you're used to dealing with old things, Andy, and we have a cabin. It's an old cabin, but it's been remodeled, and part of the floor had linoleum on years ago. Since then, the linoleum has been removed, and we've covered it with a carpeting. But now the kids want to have just all, you know, wood floor. And is there but the black stuff from that linoleum is still on the floor. Is there an easy way to take this off other than just scraping with putty knives or something?
No, there's no real easy way. Depending on if it's the glue, there's sometimes some chemicals that you can spray on it that makes it a little bit easier. Another fix would be installing like a quarter inch subfloor over the top of that before you install, and it might be a little bit easier to do that, or just installing a new subfloor. All depends on, are you going to go with actual hardwood, or is it going to be like a manufactured wood or a pre-finished wood?
Cabin. And the other part of the room has rugs on the floor. It is a wood floor, and this is the same wood floor. But years ago, they put linoleum down for some reason, and we've taken that off, but then covered it with carpeting. But now they just want the wood floor.
Yeah,
and so it would be part, you know, it's not putting a subfloor down or anything. It would just be a continuation of what's there.
Of what's there. So, yeah, you're going to have to scrape up that, at least get it to, the black stuff is some kind of glue would be my guess. So you're going to have to at least get it to be a smooth surface so then you can install the hardwood flooring.
All right. Very good, Joanne. And that was a trend, Andy, once upon a time. All those houses built in the 50s and even into the 60s generally had hardwood floors. And then the late 60s into the 70s, I'm sure a lot of people covered it with shag carpeting and that sort of thing. And now it's kind of revealing those original hardwood floors in certain circumstances. And it's a beautiful floor, but those need to be maintained and sanded from time to time.
Yeah, a lot of times, some of the best hard-looking hardwood floors I've seen are ones that where carpet was pulled up and then refinished. Some of the character, you know, again, I'm an older, I like the older rustic stuff myself, and just knowing how the old bones of these houses work and going restoring things, it's a lot of fun. But you're right. I've been in way too many remodels where we're pulling up one, two, three layers of linoleum, and yeah, I do like old stuff. I was talking about that old four square farmhouse. One of the coolest parts about this project coming up here, customer told my estimator that we are the fifth contractor to come, but we're the only ones to get out of our truck. Everyone else has looked at the house and left. So, those are my favorite type of projects. An opportunity for my craftsmen to really shine, for sure.
It is 9:28. It is a home improvement show with Andy Lindis each and every Saturday between 9 and 10 o'clock. And, of course, website lindusconstruction.com, L-I-N-D-U-S, construction.com. Or 1-800-LEAVE-CARD is a great way to reach the great folks there. We have much more coming up on the text line and on the phone line, and you can be a part of the show, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226 is the phone number, and you can once again call or text the program. Coming out of the break, we're going to visit with Bob and Victoria about cinder block and a problem there. And we're also going to talk about gutters. My gutters are filling up with debris from the trees, the oaks, the maples, and that's a pattern throughout the year. We'll get Andy's thoughts on that coming up as well here on the Home Improvement Show on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis and the good folks from Lindis Construction each and every Saturday between 9 and 10 o'clock. And by the way, our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, and that's good for a call or text. And Andy, I wanted to bring up leaf guard gutters, because right now, if it's anything like my yard, I got the oaks dropping stuff right now, I've got the maples, and then of course the helicopters come out later in the season. It really creates a mess, and folks with leaf guard don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we think about, you know, gutter cleaning as a fall chore, but some of the stuff that drops down in the springtime and what we learned over the winter, or what happened to our gutters over the winter, can really cause some damage. And if they're not addressed and we're not maintaining them, and these spring rains keep coming, it can lead to some flooding and a lot of damage. And that's the nice part about leaf guard. Never, ever worry about your gutters again. If they clog, we will clean them for free, and that's a warranty good for you and the next person that owns your house. So I have a nice leaf guard gutter on my garage I'll be replacing next week. I had some help around my house taking some trees down, and may or may not have had a tree hit my leaf guard. And in those rains, I thought I was able to bend it back, or my dad was able to bend it back into a normal shape, but you can still see the dent. And happened to be in my garage, was it Tuesday, when we were getting those downpours, and I was just watching it overflow. So I'm like, oh, there it goes. 80-foot has to happen on an 80-foot section of gutter, too. So that's my week next week, replacing a piece of leaf guard. But, hey, that's what we do.
Yeah, and bummer on the tree trimming gone bad.
You know, that's maybe some stuff is left up to professionals now. The guys that were helping me here, they'll remain nameless, but they may or may not be related to me. And
yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, we'll leave it right there. Let's go to the phone lines here on the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis. Let's bring in Bob and Victoria. Bob, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, thank you. I have a 28-year-old split and a portion of the wall is exposed, and it has a coating on that cinder block. And some of that coating has peeled off and taken a portion of the cinder block with it. The cinder block itself is not cracked, but it's, you know, it's peeled off a little bit of it. And I'm wondering if what I should do about that, if anything, if I should recoat it or if I should patch it or if I need someone more experienced with that to take a look at it and see if there's any other issue.
On this on the exterior?
Yes.
And it's just around the, it's the coating around the foundation was like a painted coating?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should be able to just recoat that yourself. So if the cinder block itself is, if you think it's losing some of its structural integrity, then I would maybe get somebody like safebasements.com to come out and take a look at it. And this is what people always got to keep in mind. Guys like Safe Basements and us, those estimates and consultations are free. So if you're worried about something structurally around your house, it's worth it to have a professional come out and at least take a look at it. And all the ideas that we give you for how to fix it are free. And whether you do it yourself or hire a professional to do it, then you can make that choice. But if you're worried about that, I would definitely consult a professional. And there's some different things you can do on the exterior of a foundation to not only help with water management, but to really make your house more energy efficient. Now, one of the things that people just don't get, a lot of times when we go to look at insulation in somebody's house, we want to start in the basement. We want to see how the rim is insulated. And when we do blower door tests, the amount of air that comes through the foundation of a house is sometimes pretty startling. And that really leads to bad stack effect in the wintertime. And what that leads to is usually condensation and mold. So it's something that you have an opportunity to address here, and that's probably why the coating was put on the outside. But now you can look into different coatings or different things you can do, maybe where you're going to add an R value to it as well.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call, Bob. And Andy, when it comes to water, water is relentless. It won't stop, and it's not going to get better. It is one of those things that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about cement and as porous as it is, when water's getting in there and you have issues, it's going to make that cement worse over time. So it's something you, like you said, you definitely want to address. Hey, Steve, before I forget, I did see a text and the lady talking about scraping her floor. This text makes a really good point that some of that black mastic stuff may or may not, depending on how old it is, may or may not contain asbestos. So before you scrape that, unless you know exact that it doesn't and that it was, you know, maybe done in the 90s, you're probably okay. But if it's done much older than that or pre-80s even, then I would definitely get it tested before you start cutting into it and see if it does contain asbestos. And if you just go online, there's lots of different places you can send that into to get it tested.
Yeah, and it's one of those things you don't want to fool around because there's a lot of abatement that goes in. And I know at Lindus, you're very careful and by law have to be very careful.
Yeah, when it comes to asbestos or lead safe practices, it's something that we're talking about on a regular basis. One, my installers are the most important people around to me. They're taking care of them is very important. And two, when the last thing we want to do is make somebody's house worse. And sometimes if you cut into materials like that, that's exactly what you're going to do.
All right, so a friendly reminder, dealing with flooring, especially old flooring, older homes, cabins, etc., tread very lightly there. Let's go to the phones again. Peggy in Maple Grove. Peggy, you're on the air with Andy Lindus. Hello.
Good morning. I have a front stoop that meets some brick siding by my front door. The wall on the right is my garage, then the stoop is 9.5 feet long. And it, on the other side is my kitchen window that bumps out. And then there's some brick alongside the door on both sides, a foot on one side and 4 feet on the other side. And the brick has separated, and they have gone in there, looks like years ago, and put a caulking in, but it's now opening up and has little holes in it. And there is a good, from what I can see when I pull it off, a half-inch gap between the brick and the stoop. What's the best way to do this to seal it up?
Now, is this this gap always been there and was just covered with caulking, or has the gap gotten bigger?
I have no idea because I've never taken off some of the caulking to look before. I'm assuming it was probably the same because the caulking hasn't changed much. It's just old, and it looks like some kind of a construction caulk, and they've really slathered it in there.
Yeah, and they make some concrete caulking specifically for that, but it just takes a long time to cure. So that's one of the things, if you do use that. I did hear a story of somebody using that in a driveway, that gray.
Yes.
It's gray caulking that's made to look like concrete. It just goes into like expansion joints, things of that nature, and
you
it
know,
takes a long time to cure.
Yeah, I've used a small tube of that on cracks in my basement floor, little tiny hairline cracks.
Yeah.
And it's worked great, and it's stayed there, and it's great. But
yeah, the nice part about the basement, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting the weather, so it's going to last a little bit longer down there than it will outside. But I would maybe peel up that caulking, and if it seems to be sable, just re-caulk it so water can't get in there. Make sense?
Something that stretches a little bit that's got concrete doesn't give. You know, if I fill the hole with concrete and then put over the top some sort of a caulking material that would give a little bit when the stoop and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I don't think filling it with concrete is probably the answer. That's the nice part about some of these exterior caulkings and expansion joint fillers is they have elasticity in them, and they're designed to handle the expansion and contraction. So hopefully it's something that you only have to do every few years, but all depends on how much movement is actually happening there. If you're worried about the stoop is actually pulling away, you might want to look into stabilizing that either with some, you know, there's sand jackers, mud jackers. Our buddy at safebasements.com, Jesse Treble, he has a really innovative machine that does foam jacking. That's my favorite part of stabilizing stoops, or if concrete pads or sidewalks, anything of that nature, because when you use the foam jacking, it actually compacts the soil a little bit, so it actually makes it more stable. And then those other systems of either the water eventually evaporates, or the sand jacking is just filling a void, and if water gets in there again, it's going to wash the sand out, and you're going to be in the same problem. So if it's a stabilization issue, get a hold of Jesse Treble. I wouldn't use the concrete in there, but I think if you just use a good high quality outdoor caulking, you should be okay.
All right, Peggy, good luck with that project. Quick break. We have more on the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis. We'll go to Dick and Fergus Falls out of the break. He wants to talk about a wood deck. We'll get into that in a moment. By the way, Lindis Construction online, lindisconstruction.com, or at 1-800-LEAVE-CARD. And our phone number here on the show each and every Saturday, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. And that is good for a call or a text here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is the Home Improvement Show on the air every Saturday between 9 and 10 a.m. with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. And Andy, I was at your Facebook page, and there are job opportunities at Lindis right now.
Yeah, that's kind of an exciting time for us, and I know you know, there's lots of people out there looking for work. We're feeling pretty grateful that we're in a position to be able to hire more people, whether it's estimators, salespeople, anybody that has a craftsman like bone in their body. We're looking for siders, window installers, leaf guard installers, and people that just want to go out and do estimates. So you name it, we're hiring. So if you're looking for work, or you know somebody looking for work, send them my way. We'll set up an interview.
And Andy, did they go to the website? Is that the best way to start there?
Absolutely. LindisConstruction.com. We have an employment tab. You can check that out right there. You can actually fill out an application right online, and we'll be in touch.
All right. So opportunity is at Lindus Construction. 10 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. We go to the phones. Dick in Fergus Falls, you're on the air. How you doing, Dick?
Good. Good morning. Just a quick side note. We had Leaf Guard from Brainerd come out this week, and they're going to do our house and a friend's of ours in the next month or so. So,
Awesome.
We've set that up. So, quick question about a three-year-old wood pressure deck. Can we use, or what are the advantages, disadvantages of using a pressure washer on that to clean it up each spring?
Is it a finished deck? Do you have like some type of finish on it already?
Yes. Yeah, we let it cure for a year, and then we put the finish on, the stain and finish on it last year.
Do you know what type of stain you used?
Oh, boy, I'm sorry, I don't.
Was it an oil-based stain?
Yes.
So you can use a pressure washer on this. Just be careful not to start with the lowest, you know, nozzle that you can put on there. And
okay.
But sometimes you can get into the wood and damage the wood, and then you end up sanding. And then when you end up sanding, sometimes the nice part about an oil-based finish, at least the ones that I use, like Sikkens and Penafin, you can go right over the top of them to make them, you know, you don't have to remove the finish all the way in order to restain it. It has that oil-based, at least the Penafin, you know, it penetrates enough where you could do that. And just follow the directions on the can. Make sure you're doing it at the right time, and make sure after you pressure wash it, you let the deck dry out. Now, if you're getting it down to the actual bare wood, and this is a lot of times a step that's missed. Letting the wood cure a year before you put on the oil-based stain is a great way to do it. Another thing that I always recommend is a brightener and conditioner. So imagine this, any mill, when you're dealing with wood, when wood goes there, it's going to go through a saw. That saw is going to create heat. That heat is going to seal off some of the pores of that wood. When you add the brightener and conditioner, it opens that wood back up to allow that oil-based stain to penetrate the most, so you're getting the most protection of the wood and the longest lasting stain that way. And for a chemical that costs like $6 to get, it's well worth it to use when you're restaining a wood. And even now, you might want to look at after your pressure washer, you know, cleaning it with a brightener and conditioner and then doing a restain on it. And I know it's not a fun process, but it's one of the things that we have to do, and we have natural wood decks.
To the phones again on the Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Lindus Construction. It's Sue in Young America. Sue, you're on the air with Andy Lindus. Hello.
Thanks. Hello. I love your show.
Thank you.
Have a rambler home without a basement. Has a 3-foot crawl space. I think half of it has a moisture barrier. So I'm wondering what Andy's thoughts are about moisture barriers. And the house tends to run more humid. Dehumidifier runs a lot. It's set on 45. When it's not running, it can go up to like 80.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if these two things are related and what his thoughts are about moisture barrier.
You know, we believe it or not, we do a lot of spray foam in crawl spaces to deal with this. And then a lot of times, the majority of dehumidification units that you buy at most stores, you know, the units that are in the $100 to $300 range are, one, they're not very efficient at moving the water. Two, they have to run way too much. So when it comes to spaces like this and dealing with humidity, the Sanidry is the new dehumidifier that I'm using, and then there's a Santa Fe model that you can find them online. They're not cheap. They're almost $2,000 to purchase. Really easy to install. They're plug-and-play machines. But I'm telling you, in one instance, I know there was two dehumidification units running and weren't keeping up, and then the Sanidry machine went in, and it's running at a third of the cost of what those other two machines were as far as the amount of electricity used each month, and it's just a much better machine. And I would maybe start there before I look at spray foaming that. Now, is this a heated space in the wintertime too? I'm not sure.
She may not be there.
If it's a heated space in the winter.
Not.
Okay. then I wouldn't worry about that. But a lot of times where we end up spray foaming the walls, the actual dirt floor, and then the ceiling, which is the floor of the room above, and that's going to make that a much more comfortable room as well.
All right. Good luck with that, Sue. And you've talked about it before, Andy. Moisture management inside and outside the house is super, super important.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we look at all the time. Hey, I know we're running out of time here. That caulking I was trying to think of for the exterior, somebody texted in an actual name of it, and this is one I'm familiar with, Volchem Commercial Grade Caulking, that gray stuff. Again, just be really cautious when you cut the tip of that outdoor commercial grade caulking, that gray concrete stuff, make sure you do it right, because smoothing out that type of caulking is a lot harder than normal caulking. It's very sticky. In fact, I do know a friend of mine that applied this on his driveway and then turned his back, and a family of birds got stuck in it. That's how sticky it was. And then he had to deal with a family of birds and cleaning caulking off of little baby birds for an afternoon. So it's something that you have to be aware of, but you're not going to be able to finger smooth this type of caulking. And if it's a big gap, a foam backer rod might be needed.
All right, Andy, always good to visit with you here on the Home Improvement Show. Have a great Saturday, and good luck with all those chores.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Thanks.
All right, there he is, Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction, each and every Saturday here on the Home Improvement Show between at 9 and 10 a.m. The phone number, 1-800-LEAVE-GUARD. That's 1-800-LEAVE-GUARD, or online, lindisconstruction.com, L-I-N-D-U-S, construction.com.